See when. Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. We are so glad you're here, and remember, we are the Resistance, and we are with Kevin Huff today. Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, baby. I'm good.
Okay, let's start this podcast over.
You're here with the Venus Flytrap.
You're creeping me out, dude.
What
Venus Flytrap, wasn't that something from like the 80s?
Well, I mean, it's WKRP in Cincinnati, and we were talking about that before, so I still got that on my mind.
Yeah,
we
they always done the had names.
Turkey Drop hasn't happened yet, so.
Oh, well, like in the 70s, they would have these names like the Venus Flytrap.
Yeah. And well, I think that's maybe where Leisure Suit Larry came from.
Oh, that's right. You had to have that real smooth voice. Oh, you said something about the turkey drop. Well, we did our Thanksgiving on Saturday, so
that's
everyone could
so
be there.
Early.
I know.
That's why you set up Christmas as early as you did then, I guess.
Well,
did you do Christmas too while you're at it? I mean, just celebrate New Year's?
We did. Stacy's like, you know, it's the day after Halloween. It's like, let's get this fall stuff down. You know, it's time.
Yeah.
But here's the good thing about it. She's an amazing decorator, and the house, you feel Christmas for like 2.5 months. You know, Christmas music's already playing.
You know, it's too early for me.
Yeah, I know. It is for a lot of people. Yep. It was for me, too, at one time. But after being around it for a while, it's kind of like, you know what? It's kind of nice to have those good feels for a while.
And my daughter plays it year-round.
Does she really?
She plays it year-round. It's part of her list.
Were you a Rudolph fan when you were a kid?
Well, yeah.
Burl Ives, you know, silver and gold, and there's always
Let's not forget the Heat Miser.
Oh. Well, there was...
And I'm Mr. Freeze.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm Mr. Cool.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some that I really, really loved to watch. But for me, Rudolph, you know, was... I want to be a dentist. Remember that kid?
Yeah.
What was the word that
week? That was that whole show, wasn't it? Wasn't that the one with the miser and everything in it? Like that whole Rudolph adventure?
You didn't watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
No, isn't that the one that has Heat Miser in it? That's with Rudolph.
Well, there was a couple Rudolphs. Yeah. They did like some follow-up kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The original one, you had Yukon Cornelius.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one with the Heat Miser in it.
Okay.
For sure.
I don't remember Heat Miser.
Oh, man, yeah. He was awesome.
I remember the Island Misfit Toys.
Yeah, well, lots of fun stuff on there.
Yeah, that's where I belong.
Island of Misfit Boys.
Oh, wild boys. What
you going to do?
Anyhow, this is more than a conversation, guys. Sorry, we kind of get going back and forth. We just kind of get laughing here. Well, man, first of all, welcome back. We're glad you're listening to Unleashed. I saw a bunch of guys posting about listening to last week's podcast, and it had an impact. Always love seeing you guys, putting something on social media.
I thought you were going to say, hey, guys, try again.
You're right. That one really stunk. Well, the one comment was when we were going back and forth with word plays. You know, we always do that.
Oh,
you know,
brother.
Like, who can come up with the words? Yes. They're like, all right. But anyhow, like, if this podcast, some of it, if we get past this intro, gets if it speaks to you, you know, give us a like, subscribe,
please.
Share it with someone who needs to hear the truth or maybe just needs a good laugh today.
Yeah.
But also, if you want to help support the ministry, and we really do appreciate it, you can go to unleashed.men. You can, on the drop-down box, you can click on donate. I think it's under the About tab. But, you know, I get a lot of guys, especially in the outdoors, that go, you know, I really struggle because the outdoors for me is kind of like where I'm closest to God.
Mm.
And they say, there's so much stuff I don't know what to believe in. So I struggle with going to church because I'm going, are these guys just after my money? Are they going to look at me? Will you center you? And is forgiveness real? Is grace real? Are they going to, you know, be like the hypocrites that we see on television? And they're like, I believe in what you guys are doing and reaching guys, but I don't know what to do as far as tithe. We're not asking you to tithe here. I mean, yes, tithe, give your money back to wherever you feel God's calling you to. But if this is something that does speak to you, man, we'd love to have you be a part of the team. Anyhow, enough of that. Let's see here.
Well, that's like Romans 1, 19 through 20. Is it coming to mind?
I'm listening.
For what can be known about God is plain to them. The whole thing about his creation and how it's his divine nature, his eternal power are all evident in his creation. I'm with these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Psalm 19, heavens declare the glory of God.
Absolutely.
Sky proclaims his handiwork.
It's, you know, when I'm
out
there,
I
feel closest to God, especially when the sun is coming up. And I've said this before, we've talked about this, when new life, or not new life, but life begins to wake up.
Yeah.
And you hear the squirrels beginning to chirp and running down the tree and chasing each other, and the turkeys are talking. And
for me, it's when we go back outside to play pickleball.
Okay, I don't know if I want to consider that outside.
You know, I'm just thinking this is funny. You know, I try to tie everything back to pickleball at least once for a joke if I can. But the truth of the matter is, I prefer playing pickleball outside. I don't care if it's sunny, windy, raining. I want to be outside for the same reason. I love being in the creation. I am a guy who's in his mid-50s who drives down the road and is like, that tree's pretty. That tree's cool.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you know what I'm saying? You do the tree thing? I get in trouble for this all the time. I'm always going,
oh, yeah.
Have you ever, like, seen, like, the way a tree grows under the ground? It looks just like it does above the ground. They're like, you're really old. You're talking about this tree stuff.
And my wife is like, how do you drive to the grocery store for the 5,000th time and, like, you love the trees? So I'm just
going to... I am not the only one.
I am just going to show you some evidence from this morning. These are all pictures just from this morning.
He has got tree pictures.
Tree and sunrise.
Oh, my word. You've got tree pictures.
Wait till you see this one. This one is stunning. I did that while driving by. I was just rolled down my window and held my camera out and took a picture while I was driving.
You do know I'm going to be playing this podcast. My family going, see, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, well, you know
why? Because I'm not the only one.
Because God's creation is awesome.
But pickleball, I have a hard time because I'm an outdoors guy. Oh, look at you. You show me pictures with
this
shotgun.
This is my son.
Got the blaze orange vest out there in the weeds.
Yeah, baby. The pheasants about to jump.
See, the only thing I think about in pickleball about being outdoors is a pickle. Because, you know, you're growing outdoors. I don't think about it.
We usually just grow cucumbers. But
well, this is
you
true.
Can find a place that grows pickles. That'll save some time.
Okay. Well, yes.
Well, we're six and a half minutes into craziness. Let's get back to
that. All right. So what we were talking about, we were going on, I mean, we were talking about the outdoors, the love, everything waking up. And that's, for me, you know, you said you're like a lot of guys. That's kind of where you feel closest to God. And
for sure.
I got a call this past week. There's going to be a big outdoors event in Shipshawana. It's the weekend of February 18, 19, I think is when it is. And it's a big event. And they called me and they said, hey, we were given your name as a reference to come speak. We're having our Survivor Series. And we've heard you've got a lot of great stories. And I said, well, yeah, I'd love to. I'm honored. I mean, I love speaking for events. I do a lot of game dinners and men's conferences and men's retreats. And he says, well, can you give me a story or two so I can kind of hear to make sure we kind of got the right guy? And I'm like, well, sure. And so I'm telling these stories. I get like halfway into the first one. He goes, nope, you're it. You're the speaker. I'm like, I'm not done. I haven't even started yet.
Are you sure?
I know.
What if I fall on my face at the end here?
Oh, and then he goes, could you like send me a bio? And I said, well, do you just want me to like send you the regular bio? I said, he goes, well, if you can kind of make it specific to our Survivor Series. I'm like, all right. So I sit down and I start typing out like bio stuff that I think these guys coming to a Survivor Series, you know, event would want to hear about. And it's like 20 minutes later, I'm still typing. And I'm going, if I were the person looking at my bio right now or hearing these stories, I'd be going, is this for real? It's like, did AI write this for you? And
kind of like you peeing next to Fred McMurray.
Yeah, that was a funny story. you're going to have to describe that.
I just
that
brought
now.
That
you
in
can't
on purpose.
Just leave it.
Look, yeah, I'll help you out on that one. He was at an event with a bunch of famous people. Were you a waiter?
I was just thinking. The Johnny Man. You know, when you're in Nashville, you know the quickest way to find a musician is just snap your fingers like a waiter.
Yeah.
No, I was called to be a part of the Johnny Man Singers. Well, this is a long time ago. And it was a big deal back then. And at my table that night for dinner, I had Johnny Bench, you know, from Cincinnati Regiment, Johnny Bench. I had the last living, I don't know what the correct, politically correct, short person left. What were they called? Munchkins or something from that?
Yeah, Wizard I think of Oz. It was the Munchkins.
They had him in a little like a baby seat because he couldn't reach. He was sitting in that. And Fred McMurray and my three sons. Yeah. And so I was in the bathroom. And you was in the bathroom, and here comes Fred McMurray, and he's standing right beside me. And I can remember thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm peeing beside Fred McMurray. And, you know, I wanted to start going, da-da-da-da.
If you guys are too young to know who the heck that is, well, there's a black and white TV show that Brent grew up watching called My Three Sons.
That Brent grew up watching.
I didn't grow up watching it.
I wanted to look at him and go, well, how's Chip and Ernie, you know? And
those are his boys. Didn't he have three boys, though? Because it's My Three Sons.
Yeah, what was it, Chip and Ernie? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. You watched it, not me.
Yeah, but I was really little.
And then wasn't there like an old guy that was like an uncle or a butler or something?
What, Charlie or something? Grandpa.
Charlie sounds right.
Yeah, I think it was Charlie.
I don't think it was a grandpa, though.
Uncle Charlie sounds right.
Good old Uncle Charlie. Right or wrong, that sounds good.
Wow. You know, my favorite shows back then, you and I both, Gilligan's Island.
Absolutely.
But were you around, here you go, were you around for Lost in Space?
No.
That would have been right before your time.
Wait, Lost in Space.
Will Robinson, Robot, oh, Dr.
Yeah,
Smith.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, yes. I didn't watch a lot of those. I didn't like sci-fi back then.
Yeah, start.
But I liked Land of the Lost and those Sleestaks.
Yeah, well, Sleestaks came from like the Star Trek stuff.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well,
so when you look at all that stuff, even like those things, they were shot on a set. Those creatures were made. You know, they made those things. They put makeup on you. They weren't real.
They weren't?
No, yeah,
you're no. ruining my
and
childhood.
We thought they were.
You're killing
and
my
And here's
childhood.
The big question. Did we really land on the moon or was that shot in a studio?
Oh, my gosh.
We'll just kind of go back on that. But there again, we have a media today that we don't know what to trust.
Yes, great point.
Is this real? Was that Photoshop? Was it AI?
I just made a post about this the other day. We are literally at the place where we can't tell anymore. And I'm a guy who admittedly promotes some of that.
Yeah, the AI stuff.
Yeah, I have an AI lab right next to me here that we built, and
yeah. We
create clones of our voices and clones of our you know images, and we produce content that looks like us, but it's not really us.
Yeah, I mean, my eye, when I'm watching it, like on a YouTube video or something, I can usually tell, but it's getting really
it's
tough.
It's getting so good.
Yeah, it's getting so very good. Yeah. But so,
but there's, but they still, AI still does stupid stuff.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah, it's, and this is the thing, because you don't know what to believe. As good as AI is, and you're going, you know what, I'm going to do some research. It will even say to you, it will give you a warning that AI makes mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And some people say it will even lie to you.
It will.
And here's the what I was trying to go to with this is there. I put this bio together. And I'm going to be sharing these stories when I'm live. And you probably have about 60% of guys that come to these events that wouldn't darken the door of a church. But they love the outdoors are coming to this.
Sure.
Not to say that they don't believe in God. But they don't know who to trust. You know, what is real? Was Jesus really the Son of God? Was he just a good man? And so kind of what I wanted to do today is I wanted to talk to the guys, many of you that are like us. We love the outdoors. We believe in God. But we're not sure, you know, it's like, what do I do with that? What do I do with my faith? Is there more required of me? You know, we talk about grace, you know, being so sufficient, it covers everything. You know, that forgiveness, the grace that God has. Well, yeah, it does. But here's the thing, repentance, you know, leads us to obedience. And that's the one thing we got to talk about is, well, then what am I supposed to be doing? Because if I really believed, I mean, if I really, really in my heart of hearts believed, you better believe I would want to be as obedient as I possibly could.
I think it's even obedience to what end, which is the the ultimate end.
We were having a conversation the other day, and we were talking about, I'm not going to say what the specific, I guess sin I can call it was, that someone had in their life. And we were having a conversation going down the road, and I said, well, that's just kind of the way the world is today. That's just accepted now. I said, well, the world has accepted it. But that's not what the Bible says. The Word says something different. So then what do we do with that? This is just where the world is. Again, if you really believed in something, would it reshape how you live your life? Like with me, with these adventures, people are going, you know, some of these crazy things, you know, you've almost drowned, been charged by bear, bison, rhino, 300 or 400 pound Russian boy. The list goes on. But if I was afraid, I wouldn't be going back out there. But since I can trust the one who made everything there is, and I know he has a plan and a purpose for my story, I still have to be smart. I can't be stupid about things. But I'm not going to be afraid to get back out there. And the same thing within my life. How can I be obedient to God, getting back out there and speaking into people's lives? Because, again, it comes down to what you believe. You know, like in the model, when we're writing this book, the Unleashed book, and we have one of the we call a pyramid in there. We talk about, you know, your thoughts shape your emotions, emotions shape your actions. And it's your experiences, your beliefs that shape how you think, feel, and act. That's why beliefs are so important. And here's where we wanted to go with this today was, if we really did believe that Jesus is, not was, the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
and we believe that with everything we have, would we truly be wanting to seek him more, getting into his word, following through with what he's called us to do? So, you know, anyhow, so when I'm sharing my stories, you know, these really crazy ones, sometimes I do wonder if people are looking at me like, are you making these up? And honestly, I get that.
Oh, I texted you this week, remember?
Yeah.
I said, I don't ever want to go on one of your adventures.
Yeah, I do remember that. And well, I was going back. I was looking at some of my notes. You know, when I started listing some of these, you know, being stranded off the coast of Alaska for 6 days in a boat, you know, having a 500-foot glacier calve right next to us in a little raft, you know, being charged by bears, having to shoot. I mean, it does sound like fiction. But here's the thing is, this is why I love being able to say I wasn't alone on any of these adventures.
Right.
I wasn't alone on any of them. There were witnesses, sometimes one guy, sometimes it was three guys, but these guys are right there beside me who can back up every single word. And that got me thinking this week, you know, while watching, I was watching a video, it was a reel of, you know who Sean Ryan is?
No.
He's a podcaster, really popular, kind of like Joe Rogan. He's former Special Forces, and you know who Tucker Carlson is. They were having a conversation, and they were talking about God and Jesus. And it's been an interesting thing.
Tucker, is this the one where Tucker was talking about demons attacking him in bed?
Well, that was with Meg Ryan. What's her name?
Megyn Kelly. Okay.
And she said, you know, you even mentioned that you seen a demon or being attacked by one.
Yeah. No, never mind. So go ahead.
Yeah, that's another one I was watching. I happened to see that this week too. But Sean Ryan was talking with Tucker, and they're both going on about this spiritual awakening that's been happening within them. But Sean was like, but who do I trust? He says, something that the closer I've gotten to the media and everything I'm involved in, he goes, everybody lies. I don't care what party you're from. Someone is always stretching the truth somehow, somewhere to try to get you to believe something. And as much as my political views might be more conservative, I think that's safe to say, I'm always paying attention to everything, what everybody is saying. And it can be sometimes in a relationship. Sometimes the truth is in the middle. But when you're looking at the Word of God, what he says, the truth isn't somewhere relative. The truth is the truth. And so anyhow, I was going through this video and thinking about that. And they're talking about faith and truth and what's real, who's lying to us. And because we live in a world where we're being fed lies every single day by media, the culture, sometimes even by people that we trust, it's easy to start wondering, so how do I know what's true anymore? Who do I believe? What do I believe? Who's right? You know, who can I trust?
Yeah. Hubba, hubba, hubba.
That's
who do
big,
you trust?
That's a
who
big
do you
question.
Trust? Yeah, it is a big question. And here's the thing. I love that you bring up witnesses because we have witnesses for what happened in for the resurrection. It's the central claim of Christianity. And we have all these great witnesses who, as I mentioned earlier, to what end did they believe? Well, a really, really, really bad end.
Yeah.
Not the kind of end you choose if you don't believe.
Yeah. And you had over 500 witnesses.
Oh, yeah.
To the resurrection.
Yeah. Well, or that saw him in those 40 days.
Afterwards, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. And you got these 11-ish guys that basically went to some absolutely horrific ends.
You know, I want to go back for a second before we, because I want to talk about the disciples, because what happened to them if you didn't believe?
Yeah.
There's no way you would have been willing to give your life for this. But you were talking about AI. And you've got AI, you know, sometimes rewriting history, you know, news that can change by the hour. You know, even believers, we don't know where to stand on certain things. And so here's what hit me. 2,000 years ago, when you think about it, the world wasn't that much different. Maybe the speed of what they got stuff was different. But people were confused. They were divided. I mean, you see that everywhere. You know, the Pharisees, everything. They're manipulated by politics, by religion. And then you have this man come on the scene, and he's performing miracles. And they'd seen some of these guys before performing miracles, but what separates him from someone else?
Well, and he's performing him on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
I mean, he's teaching the word like he wrote it, right? Like it's in him.
It's how he says it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you got a guy who comes in, and here was a dude that was blind, and Jesus, you know, put some mud on your eyes here. How's that?
Like, I mean,
the optometrists, and they're switching it. How about now?
How many 12-year-olds do you know that would be hanging around the church saying they're at their father's house?
Yeah.
12-year-olds.
Yeah. Zero.
Didn't you guys know I'd be at my father's house? Like, come on, Mom and Dad. Who do you, did you forget who I was? Don't you know what the angel told you, Mary?
And, you know, I love that he's healing people's bodies. Like, well, you've seen those, what do they call those, cochlear ear plants or something?
Yeah, cochlear ear. Yeah.
and they hear for the first time, and you watch the video, and they start to cry, or they see for the first time.
Yeah.
And you think about Jesus, he's giving sight, he's helping hearing, but the woman at the well, who's been with multiple men, and he forgives her and tells her, you know, go sin no more, go back to your husband. Yep. But she's changed. Because shame, I just talked about this in the Big Five Man Killers. It was something, that's the last chapter being edited right now. The book's almost done. But shame, in the Old Testament, they used to chain a corpse, like if you were a murderer, onto your back and make you carry that corpse around until you were so infected and so and everything. You would die from this stuff.
What?
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, go look it up.
We need more of that. Oh, yeah. You want to know what the truth is? We bring that back. You'll hear the truth really fast.
Wow. But that's what shame does. And so you got the woman at the well. You got how many people? He comes up and he speaks into their life. The woman caught in adultery.
Yeah.
Peter, you know, it wasn't just Judas that betrays Christ. Peter does three times.
Peter, yeah. After Judas does it.
Yes.
Which is what's really like, did you not just...
Yeah, hello.
We're not paying
McFly.
Attention. Right? Was the bread that good?
And so, but what does he do? He meets him on the beach and he calls him to him and he's like, do you love me? And Peter's like, well, you know, I will feed my sheep, feed my lambs.
Yeah, three times.
He had to know. And so you think of the shame that he was carrying. But he also, what else had Peter experience? What happened on the water?
Absolutely. And I mean, well, for a little bit. And then,
yeah, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you think about the power of forgiveness, he still in his flesh betrays Christ. After he's seen all, I mean, this other and stuff happening.
He's got to be as ashamed as it gets. He's probably thinking, I hope this guy does not come back from the dead.
Yeah. Yeah. But what ends up happening to Peter? You know, he betrays him, but yet when he comes back, because in that moment, Peter had to be feeling incredible shame. But yet when Jesus not only forgives him, but sends him back out and says, then go feed my sheep, go feed my lambs. Because Peter knew, because he had seen with his own eyes the power that Jesus had as the Son of God. He's one of the ones that suffers a really cruel death. Let me think. Let me see if I can find some of those notes. I was looking at that. So, you know, Peter, he was crucified, but he wasn't crucified just like Christ. He was crucified upside down.
And this is historical. This isn't in the Bible. This is historically documented, so extra biblical accounts. And the history is not some story, but history is that he said, I wouldn't die the way my Savior died. Do it upside down.
Yeah. And I think,
again, how do you be the guy who betrays Jesus three times? Then Jesus forgives him by feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, and et cetera. And says, on this rock, I will build my church.
Yeah.
How do you go to a death upside down on a cross? I don't even want to have my fingernail nailed to a cross.
Right.
If you don't know it's true.
You know, I wonder with the whole thing, I'm not worthy. You know, so he's hung upside down. Again, the shame carrying. You know, I've betrayed Christ. Mm. And you think about what the power that shame can have over us unless we really embrace it. So it's not just believing that Jesus is who he says he is. It's also believing that you are who Jesus says you are. You are his child. You are his son. You are forgiven. You are fully righteous at your core because of what Jesus did for you, which means you don't have to carry that stuff anymore. But what you can do is you can allow it to drive you to go and do the very things that Jesus has called you to do. Because if you hide in shame, you're not going to go out and do those things. And that's why I think when you look at all of these, you know, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, all these different ones, that I think the only one that was believed to have died a natural death, I think was John.
Yeah, old age on the Isle of Patmos.
Isle of Patmos.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. He wrote Revelation. But all the rest of them, you know, there was some of them were possibly filleted alive. You know,
I read a book. I don't know if you ever read Ted Decker. I'm a big fan of Ted Decker's books.
I knew who you're talking about, but I haven't read him.
And he wrote a book, and I cannot remember right now the name of the book, but essentially, there's a scene that I'll never forget because it just really impacted me. There's a guy who's literally having his skin filleted off of him because he's a Christian. And he is screaming these words, take my flesh, take my sinful flesh, take it all. That's what he's screaming. Can you imagine that belief system, that faith that this guy has, knowing full well he's already in Jesus' arms? How impressive is that? I would be like, ow, that hurts.
What's that saying? Pain is just weakness leaving the body.
Yeah, it's not really.
Yeah, it's a saying, but how could you live that?
I mean, yeah, this guy lived it. Pretty awesome.
You know, so you've got all these guys. They've been following him. They've seen what he can do. They are willing to lay down their lives. But Jesus says, I am the way. I am. You think about I am, you know, the words in the Old Testament. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't just say, you know, I'll show you the way. He says, I am the way. And that means the truth isn't just like a set of facts. No, it's a person. He is saying, I am the way. And that person we're talking about today was willing to die so that you and I can live. You know, and who would be willing to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a list here. I pulled it up. Thaddeus was executed. Bartholomew was tortured and executed. James, the son of Zebedee, was executed by Herod. We read that one in Acts 12. James, the brother of Jesus, was thrown from the temple and clubbed to death. Yeah. Paul was beheaded in Rome. Who else? Matthew, we read about Matthew, I think in Acts. He's killed by the sword. Acts 12, maybe we read something like that. No, Acts 12 is James being executed by Herod. Sorry. That's not Matthew. Matthew's killed by the sword in Ethiopia. Thomas is speared in India. Andrew is crucified in Greece. We mentioned Peter being crucified upside down. I mean, are you kidding me? Not one of them recanted. Not one of them benefited. Not one of them made money. All suffered because of their claim, which, again, you don't hold on to if you don't know it's true, that they saw the risen Jesus.
I was in Athens, I think it was 1995, and I spent about 3 weeks in Greece. We were doing some filming. It was a television show called Day of Discovery. And I think the song that I was doing, I was shooting a music video. It was Who Holds Me in His Hands. And when I was there, I'm literally in Athens. I'm up on top of Mars Hill, which is this giant rock kind of a thing. Yeah. And it overlooks the Parthenon and the Acropolis and all these things. And that was where some of the most vile things ever happened, you know, orgies and all this stuff happening on top of Mars Hill. And so you've got, there's a story in there where Paul, he's in Athens. And when he's been speaking about this one who was raised from the dead, mm-hmm. well, to the Athenians, their Greek mythology teaches that once a man has died and the earth has drunk his blood, there is no resurrection. And Paul says, oh, no, there was one who was raised from the dead,
right.
Which could account then for them going ahead and stoning him to death because of what he was saying. And he even points, he says, I see you have many, like, graves or tombs.
All these other gods.
Yeah, all these other gods and stuff he sees there. And he says, but like you missed one. They're like, what are you talking about? He says, because he says, you see one that says to the unknown God. He goes, well, I know who that one is.
That's right. Yeah, that's a powerful section in scripture.
Yeah.
And he helps them see the light.
And to be there and looking at something as massive as the Parthenon and all these places, the Areopagus and all these things, to realize Paul had to really know what he believed in, to be willing to go into these places and be willing to put his life on the line, being obedient to carry the cross of Christ.
Hey, can you imagine the arrogance that it would sound like a man had when he called his own shot? Yeah, destroy the temple. I'll raise it back up in three days.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, it sounds arrogant, right? Right? Destroy it. Like, let's see what happens. Well, I'm sure that's not how he said it, but... But can you imagine if you claimed,
yeah,
guys, that's cool. Kill me. I'll come back in 3 days.
Yeah.
Everyone would look at you like you're an absolute arrogant nut job.
Yeah, and there's the difference between us and him. Ours would probably be out of arrogance. His was out of confidence.
Exactly, though, I was thinking. Yeah, exactly. So, Brent, these things are meaningful to me. I had a great Sunday school teacher who taught us to think logically about a lot of these things, and he gave us a ton of wonderful evidence. He taught us... I mean, he even said, like, think about this. He goes, Jesus's resurrection was preached weeks after he came back to life. Weeks. he's like, you don't get that with myth and legend. It takes generations and generations and generations. And he's like, and it was preached right away. And then all these people saw him and they're like, oh, check this out. I mean, this is amazing. But I got to tell you a story about that Sunday school teacher of mine, because he's one of my all-time favorite guys. He's still alive today. He's a preacher out in like Maine or somewhere, Portland, Maine, I think. His name's Curtis. Great dude. Actually, we used to hunt on his land. So, I mean, when I tell you I love this guy, you can imagine I love this guy. Yeah, right. So every time in Sunday school class, when we were all in junior high, I think at the time, people would bring food to class and he'd be like, you got one for the rest of the class? And he'd say that all the time. You got one for the rest of the class? And people would be like, no, like, sorry. You know, like a piece of chewing gum or whatever, you know. No, I don't have any extra for the class. So one day I was in my bedroom and it was in the morning before Sunday school, before church. And I was like, I'm going to take this sucker to class. I knew what he was going to say. So I took two suckers to class. I pulled one out, started unwrapping. He looks at me and goes, you got one for the rest of the class? And I pulled just one sucker out and I go, yep, here's one for the rest of the class. He didn't stop laughing for like 5 minutes. But I mean, this is one of those moments that was just timed really well and perfect.
Yeah, you planned that out.
And he was a funny guy. So I nailed it. But I bring him up and I tell a fun story about him because he really, really had a major impact on my understanding of how to study scripture. This is in junior high. I mean, I had great leaders after that too, but he was probably the first one that really I resonated with. And I was like, I want to learn more like he does. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Because he was rooted in the truth. You know, you asked earlier, like, what do we believe in anymore? And this was the thing I'd posted on Facebook. I'm like, the only thing I can trust anymore in terms of truth is, well, I've always trusted as truth, which is the word. It's not what's on TV. It's not what C.S. Lewis says, my favorite author. It's not what Michael W. Smith sings, my favorite, you know, musician. It's not what, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's what's in the word. That's where the truth is.
I was thinking when you were talking about that, going back when I was a little kid, people say, how long have you been a believer? Well, I can tell you I was baptized when I was 12, but I don't remember a time in my life when I didn't believe.
Right.
I'm not one of those stories where I came to be a believer.
Yeah, I wasn't a druggie, right. Living on the street corners, yeah.
So I think there's two different things. You know, there was that time I can remember in my bed, like it was at nighttime, raising my hands up in my room, and I said, God, I want to know you. I don't want to just believe in you, and I want to be able to have conversations and understand you. But those kind of things, they transform into a lifetime of experiences. And I think for me, yeah, I always believed in Jesus. And we're not just the Christmas story Jesus, like we all when we're little kids, you know, Christmas time here.
Sure.
And the resurrection. But for me, I think it was more like when Jesus found me in my worst moments as an adult, when I had really screwed up. And when everybody else might have pulled the plug on me, he went the opposite. he moved closer to me. There were times that I can tell you I wouldn't have lived had I not felt him literally holding me. Wow, that was interesting. Phone just dinged.
I was like, hey, making an extra good point here.
I know.
Yeah.
But it's so true because it was in those moments that I've never felt closer to God than when I was at those bottom times. One of the things that I share in some of my stories, which I'll probably share that night when I'm speaking up in Shipshawana in February, is, you know, I was sucked to the bottom of a whirlpool. You know that story. And the only way that I lived was whatever was at the bottom of that whirlpool was solid, like a rock or a log, and I hit it. And that's the only thing that stopped me from continuing to spin in this whirlpool that allowed me to push off and get my face above water. So the question is, was it a good thing or a bad thing I hit bottom? It's the same thing in life.
Yeah.
You guys listening to this, you know this. You think back for a second in your life. When did you become the closest to God? It wasn't when everything was perfect in your life and everything was great, right? It was when you were hitting bottom and you knew that you needed the forgiveness and the love of God. And he gave it to you. He never even, like there was never even a pause. It was a constant. And that's what we're talking about when you think about being able to believe and being able to know. If you can just look at your own life, you know that God is real. But are you willing? Just like think of the disciples. You don't die for a lie that you made up. Those disciples went from being terrified to being unstoppable because they had seen him alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. Well, Brent, you know, I guess we should probably get to the point where we're wrapping it up. I'll just say this. If Jesus truly rose from the dead, and I have no question that he did, then every single thing he said and did is true. Every promise he made is trustworthy. Every command he gave us carries eternal weight. And if you're looking for something, if you're seeking the truth, if you're looking for something rooted deeply, give us a shout if we can help you out with that, because I can tell you right now, your life will forever be, there's a lot of words I could use, different,
changed,
improved, changed, healed.
I always say changed men change men.
Amen.
Let me say this before we wrap up. Talking about changed men change men. There was a man when I was a kid. He went to our church. He sang in the choir. I you know, back then, you know, I was like, you sing in a choir? Real men don't do that. You know, this was growing up in the late 60s. But this man sang in my mom led the choir. He sang in the choir, went to church, worked in a factory. So I, okay, he's got a man card. He worked in a factory. But he also rode a big knucklehead Harley. My very first motorcycle ride was on his Harley. This was a man's man kind of a guy. He was a big hunter. He took me on the first deer I ever got was when I was hunting with him. But the impact that this man had on my life because of his belief in who Jesus Christ was and is, when I was little, when my mom was working and my dad was working, I was taken to their house and his wife, Marie, would watch me. But every Christmas, we would always spend time together and he would sit down at the piano and he would play this song and he would sing it. And you could see the love and the joy that he had. It was something about going on a bear, not what going on a bear hunt song, but it was about Elmer's got his gun or something like that. And that year, he and my dad had been talking about what to get me for Christmas. And they got me this shotgun dart gun.
Oh, yeah, those were so fun.
And it was a rabbit. He had this plastic rabbit.
Those were so fun.
And you could, I think you wound it up, and there was a little thing.
Yes.
When you set it down, it would take off.
I could do that for hours. It was one of my favorite toys ever.
And so I couldn't wait to show Art that I could shoot this thing with my dart gun because I really wanted him to believe in me because I just thought he was the coolest thing in the world. Huh. And that little rabbit went across their floor. And remember, they had floor registers back then.
Oh, yeah.
The heat was coming out.
Yes.
It hit the floor register, and one of the back wheels came off, fell down into the whole heating duct system, and he and my dad went downstairs into this nasty basement under the house. It was an old house. It took the whole duct thing apart.
What?
To find that one wheel.
Just so you could shoot that rabbit again?
And then he welded it back on for me.
Oh, that's so cool.
He took this thing, whole thing apart. I mean, it took a whole day to take this whole thing apart get me. Think about what Jesus did.
Yeah.
You got the 99 and the one, right? He leaves the 99 and goes after the one.
Yeah, for sure.
This man knew how much it meant to me to have this. And so he was willing to do whatever it would take to see this little boy happy. It changed me forever.
Wow.
I love hunting. I love seeing people's lives changed. So when you think back about the disciples and kind of closing this now, you know, who just makes up stories and is willing to give their life for it? So if you're looking for that thing in this world today, like we started with, who can I trust? You can trust Jesus. You can trust the Word. So I want to encourage you as we kind of close this out today, you know, these men didn't just believe in Jesus. They knew him. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him calm storms. They saw him arise from the grave. And when their moment came, they didn't die for a rumor. They didn't die for religion.
Right.
They died for a relationship with the living Christ. And that's what we're inviting you to have that relationship with the one who would be willing to take not just the ductwork apart to find what you need, but take everything apart, to give his own life for you.
Yep.
Father God, we just want to give you thanks today that you are who you say you are, and that as your children, we are who you say we are. We are your beloved. We are your children. And because of our belief in you, we have been adopted into the kingdom of heaven forever. And that began the moment we truly believed. And so if there's anyone right now listening to this, they're not sure what to do, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move them in such a way that they would believe. and willing to give their life to you, to be obedient, to live out what you've called them to do, what you've called them to be for your glory. Help them find happiness in surrender and in serving. Thank you for loving us so much, God. Well, guys, again, if this is something that you found powerful in your own life and you want to share this, maybe with someone who's on the bubble, they're not sure what to believe right now, send this to them. Maybe they'll listen to it on the way to hunting camp or on their way to work or something. Maybe their life's going to be changed, but that can come through you. You can have that influence on them. And here's what I want you to remember, that when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he is no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous. Dangerous for good, because he's been unleashed. We'll see you next time.